This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and your mama's so thirsty, she brought a straw to SeaWorld. I'm thirsty. I'm your mother. Hello, son.
Nailed it. Great job, Barbara.
I told them it wouldn't translate.
She did it anyway. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm Brandi Posey, and no matter how many times I Google Jeff Goldblum, Facebook won't show me ads on where to buy one.
I'm Tess Barker, and the whole reason I became an adult is so that I wouldn't have to go back to school. Now get that shit out of my face.
Ugh. This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best.
Come on. Yeah, we're so weird.
Time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies to Lady, Ladies to Lady.
Wow. We're inside. It's hot out.
It's too hot.
Yeah, we abandoned the glam cave.
Yeah, we abandoned the glam cave.
Glam cave is cooking.
Yeah. It was hot in there. Speaking of hot, I'm going to be doing some hot shows in San Francisco, California, coming up in September next month. I'll be headlining the Punchline on the 20th. I'm at Doc's Lab for some happy hour shows on the 21st. I think I'm there the 19th too. The Harmony Club on the 22nd. And I'm at the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz on the 25th. And I'm doing a bunch of other shows all in between there. So follow me on Twitter at Babs Gray or go to my website, myjokesareuphere.com.
.com.
Will I ever give that one up? Probably not.
No,
I'm going to probably keep that forever.
Yeah, you should. It's great. And Brandy, me, I'm going to be at High Plains this weekend in Denver, Colorado, doing Picture This on Friday and then doing shows on the rest of the weekend. It's going to be super fun. Come hang out with me in Denver.
Guys.
Yeah. I'll be in LA all month, probably. I'll be doing shows here.
Soak it up.
Soak it up if you're in LA.
Yeah. And we will be in Chicago in November.
Oh, yes.
We will have a date for you soon. Yeah. We just don't have
it. It's coming.
Yet. It is either the 17th or 18th.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We know the weekend at least.
Yeah.
17th or 18th.
So block off that entire weekend.
Yes.
We'll probably do other stuff during the weekend too.
Yeah. So. We'll do other shows.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. You'll be able to see us.
Yeah.
And I hope drink with us. I want to get drunk in Chicago.
I might stop drinking, but we can talk about it. Later.
Oh,
Tess is so sad.
I'm not sad. I just don't believe it.
Well, I don't either. That's why I said maybe.
I mean, why even mention it?
Our fourth lady this week is absolutely amazing. She's sitting here very patiently and quietly, just like, I don't want to have opinions on this because I don't know everybody well enough to have an opinion. She's being very sweet. She's the star of a web series called Catty Bees. She's been on Portlandia, and she has an album that just dropped called Radio Silence, which is awesome. Lucia Fasano, everybody.
Hi.
I support all of your choices.
Oh, thank you. Just go for it or don't.
But the problem is I can't make choices. So that's my issue, is making them in the first place. So I can't even have choices to support.
Why do you feel like you should? Like, what are your
Stop
pros
drinking?
And cons?
Well, I don't even want to.
Okay.
Well, I kind of want to get into it, but I don't, because it is this thing where I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to go through with this. So it's like, what's the point of talking about
it,
you know? But, I feel bad. We just introduced Lucia. I'm going into
Lucia,
a diet.
Would you like to talk
into
about
a diet tribe?
Well, yeah. I mean, since I've been here, I've just had so many
thoughts.
All.
Yeah, you've seen the downward spiral.
Yeah, I mean, you've already thrown back, like, there's bottles everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of water here.
There's a lot of water and there's iced coffee.
Cold brew.
Yeah.
I fucking wish Starbucks would drop them on my fucking roof right now.
You can have some of those if you want.
Can I?
Yes, please.
Oh, hell yeah.
it's like, it has some sweetener in there, but it's not crazy.
If it's caffeinated, I would love to have it. Thank you.
I don't know. I've been like, I realized that, like, you know, I was like real on top of it with everything.
Yeah.
And then I all of a sudden wasn't. And I was like, oh, I'm drinking so that I will to like make myself make choices that I'm not that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to figure that out. You know,
you feel like you're drinking to purposely make yourself make choices you don't like self-destructive. Kind
yes.
of thing?
So at that point, it's not good.
No, that's not good.
And it's really good. I feel good because that's I'm good. Noticing it,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is very different than it used to be. But I don't know. I just I was like, I felt like I had the power on like with guys. And then like I lost it. Just like I feel like the seesaw went the other way. And now I'm like letting the insecurities like really creep in. And then I like drink to like get over. You know, it's just not
it's a cycle.
Not healthy. Yeah. yeah. So I am thinking of taking a very long break from both things. But I will see.
I support the idea of a break.
Yeah, I support the theory. So is communism. I mean,
support the idea of it. This is the first step towards the break. What I want you to do is if you take a break and you fall off.
Right.
Not to let yourself freak out about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, it's all about having compassion for yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is something I'm trying to learn as I get older.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I'm saying I'm not sure yet. But
yeah.
I just had a crazy few weeks and I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't like this. What am I going to do?
You feel like you have that. Yeah. You need to dial back.
Yeah. I'm having the dialing back thing and I'm just like, all right, where do we go from here? You know what I mean?
Where do we go? From here.
I want you to turn the shifty eyes. I want you to turn the shifty eyes on yourself, Barbara. That's what I want to see.
Oh,
turn the
shifty eyes.
We have so shifty eyes is my thing when I just kind of like start. What is it?
You're scheming.
I'm scheming.
Shifty eyes is like it's when both of the devils on your shoulder are talking and you're darting back and you're looking at which one to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty perfect. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
so Shifty Eyes has been taking the wheel.
I want to hear that country song.
Shifty Eyes.
Take the wheel.
I don't want to do it no more.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do what you're going to do.
I think if
have so little faith in me, and it's
I have faith. I just know that you have a tendency to then make yourself feel guilty, and that's when your spiral starts.
Right, exactly. Right.
And yeah, I just want you to give yourself permission to not do that.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe just avoid the language of like quitting.
Hmm? Well, I don't want to quit. I think what I learned a lot from this like 3-month workout thing that I did, which is that time passes more quickly than you think it will, and you can change a lot in like. You know, not that long of a time.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of things I want to work on.
Yeah.
That I don't have time for this other shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the wall I really care about is that you at least take a break in Chicago.
But the thing is, there's always a break.
There's always going to be something.
There's always, there's always something.
I know.
Yeah.
It's always.
You're also a delight and a blast sober. Also.
Yeah. So. I was going to say drunk.
No.
You're definitely a blast drunk. Yeah. A finger blast.
We'll see. I mean, I was also just telling you guys about this great date I went on. So I'm obviously, you know. That's what's made me think about it. Because I'd like got onto this, all this paranoia immediately about like insecurities. And it's just like, ugh. This is gross.
Maybe just dial it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just dial it back.
Yeah.
I'm not good. You know, I'm all or nothing.
Are you?
I'm an all or nothing bitch, kind of.
Yeah, but then like nothing just leads to all, so just stick with all.
No, but I don't like all right now.
She was really great.
That's true.
She was really great at nothing for 3 months. I think it's looking at
Yeah, and that was still like moderation. But I don't know. Anyway, I'm just
not
me.
I mean, I'm not the person to talk to if you want to quit something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're not a quitter. Tess is not a quitter. We all know.
I support you, and. You know,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Whatever.
This is the big. I don't know. Next week, I'll feel differently. So who gives a shit?
No, but I know what you mean. Like, especially with booze. I mean, of all the things, like booze really can. Like, if you've been doing it too much, you feel kind of just depressed and shitty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean.
You know when you're. I just know now when I'm like using it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
It's important to identify.
Food. If it's like, okay, do I really?
It's the same thing.
This? Do I want it? And it's same with comedy. It's like I'm getting paid in drink tickets and food, and it's just
like so. If I don't use it, then I'm losing money.
Yeah. I don't think it's so hard to let go of that feeling of like, oh, if I don't use it, then I'm losing money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But it's like really, it's not, you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
You're losing nothing. It was
and you're actually losing something if you do it,
exactly.
Probably.
God, I was so jealous. One of my 10-year-old, you know, I have my little triplet brothers, and we went to Universal City Walk, and like my dad took us to frozen yogurt after dinner, mm-hmm. and like the most mature one that like his favorite meal is like sushi and decaf.
He's 45.
He's 10 years old, and he like that's his preferred meal, sushi and decaf. And so he didn't get frozen yogurt, and I was like, Aiden, you don't want frozen yogurt? And he was like, I only get things if I like really want them, and I don't really want frozen yogurt.
I was like, God damn it.
Fuck you.
From the mouths of babes.
Right? A 45-year-old babe.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I know, but like imagine having that like innate kind of self-control.
Yeah.
And like being able to gauge whether you really want something.
That's how I think about like a lot of
it would be amazing.
Like animals. Like my cat does that. My cat just like eats a little bit and he's like, I'm good.
Right? Yeah.
I try to be that way, but then I'm like, because I, you know, like I have friends that just are like, oh, like you're the friend that I can go out and get ice cream with or get cake with. And it's like, I'm not like that, actually. So I have these like very skinny friends that it's like when we hang out, it's like, oh, let's go treat ourselves. It's weird. Like, this is hard for me. Like,
right.
I don't always want to just get ice cream in the middle of the day. But you, there's,
yeah.
I can imagine being someone that just goes
you're like
their
drinking buddy, but with ice cream.
Like a sugar booty call, kind of.
It's really hard not to let other people's definition of you define yourself, especially when it's something positive and fun like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people are like that with weed with me, and I kind of like it, but there are
people are always shocked whenever I smoke anything. They're just like, you?
Yeah.
What? And I'm just like, I'm not like,
don't
have a monocle or like a long frock or like, I don't know. Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not like an English school marm or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I have a tight bun where I'm like, what is, do I smell the smoke? Like,
That was a great accent. Oh,
thank you. It's really, really my voice. That's why you wanted me.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's just hard doing stuff in moderation. And I think especially as you get older, you're like, I don't know, just figuring out what makes you feel good.
This might sound cheesy, but I have been meditating more lately. And I know, it's so gross. But you talked about your fitness tape a few weeks ago, so I feel like I can talk about it. Yeah.
My fitness tape.
I just took a class called Funky Grooves, and it changed my life.
Really?
So I'm open to,
We took a class called Groove.
Groove?
What was it called? Groove?
Yeah, Groove.
It was only one groove.
Yeah, it was
it's
groove.
It wasn't multiple funky
groove. Yeah, it wasn't funky. It was just
wait, what was your groove?
What was your class?
It was like, it was supposed to be like throwback songs, but that also includes like CeeLo's Forget You and Uptown Funk.
Nice.
And just doing choreographed aerobic things, which I hadn't done any dancing.
So fun, right?
It was so, and you get better every time. You're like, I can do anything.
How was the teacher? Was he?
She was so good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're the funniest fucking person. And she's like, who's gonna watch Broad City after this?
What was this class?
It was at Portland State University. And she was amazing. And I was like, you're so funny, like you could do whatever. And she did an improv class the next term, I think, or she was in an improv class. And
that's
like,
awesome.
You go, girl. So maybe she'll be doing funky grooves for the world.
Oh my God, I hope so.
That is the key, is just like, something you enjoy.
Yeah.
And laughing it off.
Yeah.
Not negotiable.
Like getting your life together is really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take it seriously. That's why, like, I've always, you know, we talk about Richard Simmons a lot. I mean, huge hero of mine. The way he approaches fitness, incredible. Fucking amazing. I don't care how old you are or what your background is. Like, you can laugh in his class.
You forget you're working out.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about.
Laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
God,
I know.
Is he okay? And at first I thought you meant Gene Simmons. So I and then I was like,
No.
He's kind of the opposite of Richard Simmons.
He's not delightful at all.
I hope he's okay. I mean,
I don't know. So. He's really squandered away.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
Then, like, I'm kind of feeling like very Chris Crocker about him. Like, I think everyone just needs to leave him alone.
Well, I agree. Obviously, it's not helping trying to reach out to him.
No.
Yeah, I do think he's, I feel like he has, like, major depression or something that like might be taking
kind of toxic.
Is it a beach? Did you watch the Love and Mercy movie at all? Where
That's what it seemed
John
like.
John Cusack play and then Paul Dano are both old and young. Brian Wilson, what's his name?
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti
plays
everyone's favorite guy.
Plays his like terrifying manager who like takes over his life.
Really? Yeah, so he's like lives at home and he can't leave until Paul Giamatti says so, which to me is a dream. But like,
yeah.
Paul Giamatti specifically? Or? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Very Italian.
Me either. Awesome.
No, he's not my type. Maybe in like American Splendor. No. Yeah, yeah. Is he anybody's type?
Paul Giamatti, he's absolutely some people.
Oh, yeah, him and John absolutely. Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, God. Go. How about in Sideways when he was like, I'm not drinking fucking Merlot?
Can we talk about how Sideways was like a big upturn for what? For Pinot Grigio, right?
Yeah,
I think it was Pinot Noir, wasn't it?
I can't remember which one.
One of the Pinots.
One of the Pinots. It like people like bought way more because of that movie.
Yeah, yeah. People think that Merlot is like the shitty wine. Yeah.
It is
it's
though.
The wine my mom.
I laughed my ass off at that line. I actually laughed at that line because it's true. Like,
it was Merlot that sold more after. No, it was a Pinot.
Really?
Oh, they sold more.
Oh, Merlot does not have a good name in Sideways.
These contrarian fucks that watched that movie were just like, oh yeah, well,
I actually
show you Giamatti.
Yeah. No, because he has this big long monologue about the Pinot Noir grape.
Yeah.
It's like in Devil Wears Prada, and Meryl Streep has that great cerulean blue monologue.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's every stress. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Paul Giamatti can order wine publicly anymore? Like, do you think, like, what is his life post Sideways, do you think?
He probably gets free wine all the time.
The other guy.
Thomas Hayden Church?
Yeah.
Just the billowiest shirts. That guy is just a billow shirt to me.
I think he's really attractive.
Me too. Remember him from that one, the show he used to be in with
Wings?
No, the show with Deborah Messing.
Yes.
What was it called?
Messing around.
I don't know.
It was called,
I know him from Wings.
It was like a Dharma and Greg type, Ted and Nancy or something. Wait, like,
okay, I was not
like not, Melissa and Joey type situation.
What was it?
It was oh God, we're finding out.
Deborah Messing
used to be cute, or like you still think he's
Ned
cute.
Ted and Nancy. It was Ned and Stacy.
Ned and Stacy, same thing.
It was a short list.
You were really close.
I finally saw Mike and Molly for the first time. Like,
how was
that?
I've never seen it.
It was the last couple minutes of the episode, and it was just like the most generic sitcom thing. But like Melissa McCarthy's a delight, and there's stereotype Italian guy, and then there's like stereotype Italian wife, and like all this stuff, and then it's just like. They turn to each other, and he's like...
Wait, Mike and Molly are the Italians?
Oh, no, but, their family. And right. I think they got engaged. Spoiler alert.
Wait,
they weren't already married?
Yeah, I think it's all about, like, how they met, like, when Mike met Molly. And so the last the episode, and I just turn it on, he's just like, I love you, Mike. I love you, Molly. And it just ends.
Shut up. That is not the last.
That's not what I thought.
I hope every episode ends like that.
I bet it does.
I love you, Molly.
How do we get that right,
Molly? Yeah.
I want to write on Mike and Molly.
It's just this ending. And did you see on Facebook, I think, because I was posting about the Ghostbusters lot or something, there's two different fake ads because Mike and Molly just ended where it's this like beautiful portrait of Melissa McCarthy and it says like saying goodbye to Melissa McCarthy and like Melissa McCarthy, like implying that she died.
That's horrifying.
A clickbait? Yeah,
those
it was
fake clickbait things are insane.
Disgusting.
Out of control lately.
Oh my God.
I like when it's just a body part. It's just like, doctors will never believe, you know, like your stomach's turning inside out, or I don't know. It's weird. Exactly. It was very bad example. I'm sorry.
This thigh, it could be yours.
Yeah.
Is it yours? Click here to find
17
out.
17 famous celebrity thighs.
Yeah. We've got your nudes, click or die.
Click or die.
I don't like when they don't try. Like I saw some under like a Pajiba article or something where it's like four different ads and two of them were the exact same, but with a different celebrity. So it's like, seven ways that Melissa Joan Hart was not okay. And then right under it said seven ways that Paul Dano was not okay.
Well, remember, guys, remember recently when I was poor and I had to write the secrets of the cost of home improvement?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what was that?
I had to write a clickbait.
I was super broke recently and I had to do a little,
pain
in the piper.
My family are writers, too.
How has it not reached the bottom of the bit? Like, has not all been written?
No, but that's what they do is you would go grab assignments and they would have like 10, like the real truth about Dance Moms, the real truth about Beverly Housewives, the real truth about, and they don't even change up the,
I mean, the
and
real truth no about Miss Frizzle and Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Guys, go Google some Miss Frizzle fan art because there is some shit out there. No.
It's not like sexual.
It's very gorgeous. It's a very PG. There's a lot of like Miss Frizzle, Mary Poppins slash fiction.
We're saying Miss Frizzle. We should, in case people don't know, is for the Magic School the teacher bus. From Magic School Bus.
Yes. Also, bus, have you guys looked at her clothes recently? Like, she literally is a fashion icon that nobody acknowledges.
Oh yeah,
her dresses are insane. I've
been recently, getting, she has new books coming out.
Well, no, I just researched her recently for a thing I had to do for comedy.
Oh well, there's these dresses. I've been wearing them in my new music video. I'm wearing this dress. It's from on Amazon, cow dresses, and they have them in like every size and like 200 patterns. They're probably made in sweatshops, but you can get them for like $17 and they're sent in 2 days, and they're like Miss Frizzle dresses.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, because it's just all the same like skater dress design, but you can get it like stars and moons, and bats. Ooh. Like, that's my bats dress, or like you can get dinosaurs.
I love skater.
There's
skater
middle
cut.
Fingers.
Big little fingers.
I'm in. So cute.
And they
they're
fit
comfy
cute
on everybody.
And they're comfy.
That's awesome.
It's like sort of that swimsuit summer dress fabric. And
I'm trying not to impulse buy anymore.
I'm so sorry.
Barbara's gonna quit drinking. You're gonna quit impulse buying.
I didn't know. I shouldn't have brought it up. All the triggers.
There's so many.
I've gotten a list before.
I told you that I tried to do the life changing joy of tidying up.
Oh, did you try? What happened?
Well,
did you like do it?
I did the first step.
Is that where you say goodbye to things?
Yes.
Yeah, you pick it up. If it doesn't spark joy, you thank it for its like time in your life, and then you get rid of it.
Yeah. And it's hard as fuck.
It's really hard.
I did so the idea is you're supposed to do clothes, photographs you do last. So it's clothes, books.
The stuff's the easiest to get rid of first.
Yeah. Basically. Less personal, towards personal.
Yeah. Okay. So you go clothes, books, miscellany, and then photographs,
like papers.
Yeah, paper and miscellany. Okay. So I did the clothes one, and she, like, you're supposed to, like, her thing is like you get everything in one place. Like, you're not allowed to leave anything in any of your drawers or closets. You have
to
look at it all.
Put away.
Yeah. Like, I did it, and I was like, and she tells me to do it like early in the morning. So of course I did it at like 9 p.m. after I came home from the stand up show. And
I'm sure Sean was very happy about
it.
He was so, what's that?
Where'd you put them?
I just, my room. I have a picture of Buddy just sitting amongst the filth. And
Sean,
you know, in my head, I'm like so confident. I'm like, it's gonna take me an hour tops.
Oh,
fucking
no.
3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, does this spark joy? Does this make me happy?
Like, you feel no joy.
It's so awful. Like, you just feel so overwhelmed. Like, I really immediately regretted it. But there's no turn. You can't. Once all of your clothes are in piles everywhere, you have no choice but to put them away. Ugh. And then, like, it was like you're supposed to pick up everything individually and figure out if it sparks joy in you. And there would be some things where I was like,
it's really hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
It's not black and white.
In the book, while you're
supposed to spark joy. Yeah. Like, I like that. That's helped me a little bit because I get really attached to stuff. But it's like some stuff's supposed to spark, I don't know, emotion or be a towel
some
rack.
Some sparks outfit that I don't really care that much about, but I still want to keep.
See, that stuff I tried to get rid of, but
I think it should actually just be called, let's get bed bugs. And then what do you keep? When you get bed bugs.
That's true.
Oh, like,
because, like, you have to wash everything when you get bed bugs. Like, what are you actually going to take to a laundromat? Like, that's what it should actually be.
That's brilliant.
That's a good one, too.
Like, what are you? Let's get bed bugs.
That's a good book for you to write.
Let's get bed bugs.
A memoir.
Well, and it's kind
of sparks
like,
bed bugs.
Like, when you're poor, like, I mean, when you're listening to the book, you're like, yes. Like, you're so inspired. You're like, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Yes. And she's very, like, motivational. But it's also like, I mean, I don't have a lot of money. And it's like, these running pants don't spark joy, but I still need to go running.
But they do spark joy because the running's one of your favorite things.
Yeah, but it's not like, oh, I love these running pants. I mean, they're just my only running pants. I can't buy new ones right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of things like that where you're like, this may not spark joy, but it's all I have.
Yeah, and when you're a performer too, it's like,
you have to
give away some shit. Then I'm like, oh, if only I had that wizard cape or whatever. Yeah.
I did that too. I was gonna write a joke about the dig because I did that spark joy thing and then getting rid of some costumes that I needed like after that. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Well, she's not performing. Also, like,
there needs to be an improv.
She definitely
or a comedian version of it.
It's really a really interesting book, but she does not sound like a lot of fun to hang out with.
No,
she's very much like, she's like, every day I would come home from school and find out a different way to reorganize my drawers.
Oh boy.
I'm like, everyone can live their lives this
and,
way.
Like, she gets off on everybody. It, but I think that's why it's like contagious, because like she's seriously like horny for cleaning.
She loves it. She should just like she should give out her services.
Doubtfire.
Also, honestly, this is why I need to take a break from dating, because I need to figure my shit out as far as being an adult and my room. I can't even count how many times I've had a guy like in the living room when I've been like, I need to like clean up, like, you know.
Barbara.
Yeah.
Just like stay downstairs for a minute. Play with my cat.
I've done that. Because I've been like embarrassed because my clothes are everywhere. Oh, I just like, I never put clothes away.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, when I was single, that would happen to me all the fucking time. And I would straight up tell guys, like, you know, when you're in a studio, there is no living room. You're just like, hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about like how when I say like, oh, go in the kitchen and my kitchen is just part of my living room. It's like saying, go to the library and it's just my bookshelf.
Right, yeah. So I just was like, I need to get my shit together here. Yeah. Like, I'm done like living... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to get rid of half the stuff I own. I just like need a cleansing.
Makes sense.
I'm only going to keep dicks that spark joy.
Yeah, you should do that. You should also do that to your phone book. You know, did this person spark joy?
You're supposed to. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really texting anybody. I don't give a shit.
Well, you know, Barbara, I'm going to get you bed bugs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go. Please get my soul bed bugs.
Yeah, let's get Barbara some bed bugs, you guys. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Lucia Fasano.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
And we're just solving all of our problems. I think we did a good job, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
If you aren't already yet, forgot to say this, you should join our Lady to Lady Facebook group. There's a lot of good shit going on in there. Search Lady to Lady Podcast, right?
Yeah, Lady to Lady Podcast. It's a closed group, so your stuff won't show up in your feed.
You get asked to join it.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of fun discussions going on in there.
Advice.
Exactly. Lots of Britney updates.
Yes.
Lots of...
Clamato references.
Yeah. All the important things.
Yeah. A lot of lady problem addendums as well.
Yes.
Which has been cool.
Which has been great.
Yeah.
You guys, Britney the VMAs.
Oh my God.
Did you watch the Instagram video? The tease for it?
No.
When is it happening?
Yeah, when is this?
I think it's August 27th. No, that's her album. The VMAs...
Her new video,
fucking on fire. I love that.
Did you guys see her new video?
No.
It's amazing.
So fucking funny. It is like three quarters product placement.
All of her videos are.
I mean, but I guess I didn't watch one for a minute because this is like so over the top. And it's a bunch of other women like at the beginning, trying to act around other women. Like, I don't know, pretending to be her friends.
Poor Britney at a party. Can you just imagine?
It's
just
like a Magic Mike audition fantasy video, though. It's all these hot guys dancing and auditioning.
It's great.
I like hope Britney can go to the Magic Mike Vegas show. I hope she can
go with us.
Yes.
This is when the circles all come together.
I mean, Britney will go to the Magic Mike Vegas show when like one of her friends from Louisiana is getting married and comes out to Vegas for her bachelorette party.
Do you think that's the way to Britney, by like finding her Louisiana friends?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a good way. Well, I don't know how often she goes to Louisiana, Reese, as of late.
Like, yeah.
Or how many Louisiana friends she has, for that matter, now that I think about it. Yeah. I mean, I think Jamie Lynn, her sis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's she doing?
Jamie Lynn? She's Louisiana-ing it up. Occasionally, she comes out with songs. She just came out with a song that Britt retweeted.
What? That's so random. Just come out with a song, like, every 11 years
this is kind of deep, Britt, but Britt came out with, like, a song that was, like, an ode to her and her sister that was kind of weird.
Aww.
I was like, when I'm spending time with you, like, kind of fun.
Do you think she's writing that stuff when she puts those kind of things out? Is that like a Britney?
She doesn't write anything.
Yeah, so.
I know. I just do think she's just as like, somebody write me a song about my sister.
Oh, yeah. I think that she does that about like most of her songs. You know, she has the idea.
Okay.
I mean... Yeah, the idea.
When I was little, I remember, like, I was very, like, oh, I only listen to Oingo Boingo. I don't listen to Britney Spears or pop music. And then I was watching, like, Nickelodeon, and it had the music video for Lucky.
Yes.
She sings, like, she cries, her lonely heart. And I was like, wow, she really is just, like, a real person. And I was just so wrapped up in the sincerity.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's like, she's just like Alanis.
She is.
Lucky is some real shit.
It's it holds up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's probably still one of my favorite Britney videos.
Oh, so
she's just
good.
Sitting in her room, her room.
And the winner is Lucky.
I.
man. Yeah, the Instagram tease.
I could see her being like, and she cries, and she's like, who are you guys talking? Who's this about?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what the concept, like, never. Definitely Lucky was Britney's idea, but it's like, how did she break that news? I mean, Lucky was for sure Britney's idea. Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. That was definitely her idea. I think the white piano that comes out in Crossroads and the unveiling of that song, definitely right. Britney's idea. Yeah. There's, you can tell what was Britney's idea.
Didn't like Bill Hader's wife direct Crossroads or someone cool?
Shonda Rhimes wrote it.
Mike Diamond's wife from the Beastie Boys directed Crossroads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tammy D.
Yeah, she's awesome. Cool.
She directed Half Baked too and like a bunch of other good.
And like Billy Madison or something, right?
Yeah.
Not Billy Madison. Oh, she did direct Billy Madison?
Or Happy Gilmore. She's one or the other.
Does she get credit like for being this?
There's some awesome like lady directors from the 90s that like directed some of our best.
Yeah.
Some of our best.
I want to get Tammy D on. If anyone.
We should have her on.
Would be amazing.
Penelope the director Spears of Crossroads. Too. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And Rachel Talley, who did Tank Girl. She's a friend of the family and she's the nicest person. Now she is finally getting a lot of appreciation. She just won some award and she's doing all the Doctor Who and Sherlock. Like all the best episodes of those. It's her, Sherlock's and she's being, I think, talked about to do a Marvel movie, but it's like so hard to keep for some reason. They're like,
give her a Marvel movie.
Yes, that's badass.
Yeah.
So cool. For new listeners, we had the writer of the first Guardians of the Galaxy on the show.
Oh, yeah. That's a female screenwriter.
Nicole Perlman.
She was awesome.
She's super great.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. You can tell in the movies when there's, you know, just a different voice than the usual thing.
Completely.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, she was such a badass. She was awesome.
She's ready, Captain Marvel?
Oh, hell yeah. That's going to be so fun. Good.
I was just doing the live gaming podcast. It's like an improv comedy podcast, Gosh Darn Fiasco. It's so much fun. And I just did it with a friend, Kelly Sue DeConnick, who writes the new Captain Marvel. It's like the version with Brie Larson is going to be her version of Captain Marvel.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And she's so cool. She lives in Portland. Her husband, Matt Fraction, does like Sex Criminals and Hawkeye. And she was just so amazing. And the news had just broke about Brie Larson and stuff. And it was just so great to like perform with her. But I was also like, you are a best-selling author and I just do whatever I do. And so we were playing superheroes in this. Cause like it's every episode of Gosh Darn Fiasco is sort of like a Coen Brothers movie. It's a different genre and you just go wild and crazy.
That's awesome.
So it was a superhero episode and I played the mayor, Viv Gillante. And I also
so good.
Good pun.
Thank you. But my superhero was I was also secretly a superhero named Civil Service, and she was my like assistant to the mayor, but also we all just make this up. She's the assistant to the mayor, but also the like main superhero, and I'm her sidekick. But we don't know that we work with each other.
Oh, that's great.
Nice. Yeah, and she was called the Shiksa. And I was like, can I call you that?
Yeah.
And it was just crazy because it was like, I love her comics and so excited for her. And I was like trying to joke off with her. And she was so intense and like brilliant. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so crazy when you get to like meet an idol and it's just, I mean, I clam up like pretty.
Yeah. You got to be like, play it cool.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I was 17 and I met Steve Martin and I told him I really liked him in Father of the Bride.
You're so good at the man 17? With two brains.
I know, thank God I was 17, but
yeah.
What? That's not his
story. I was just so nervous.
At least you weren't like Bowfinger.
Bowfinger is awesome.
Bowfinger is awesome.
It is awesome. But
they
like,
always hear the same thing.
To go for.
That's true.
I mean, what would you have rather said?
I don't know, like the jerk or.
But I think Father of the Bride's a classic though.
Everyone says
it?
The jerk.
I mean, I get it too.
Like, oh, you're King Tut. Oh, wild and crazy guy. It's like instead he hears Father of the Bride.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I also like met him again. I was a teenager, but like I met him at like a screenwriting thing. I asked for his autograph. I was like nerdy. Like it was, I can't say I was very like smooth when I met Steve Martin.
You were 17. You weren't smooth about anything.
That's true.
That's every 17-year-old.
That's true.
Yeah. Like even the things you think you were smooth about, none of us were.
Yeah, probably not.
No,
oh,
nobody.
No, I was the least smooth.
Yeah.
Coarse sandpaper.
That's how you trap them.
God, I found an old, like, my dad just converted a bunch of, like, old videos to digital, and I was looking through them over Christmas, and there's one of, like, me and my friends rolling around town with a camcorder just, like, thinking we're doing bits in the grocery store, and it was just, like, obnoxious teen. It was just us being loud and screeching in an aisle.
Yeah, we thought we were so fucking funny. We were just annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. I wasn't funny at all. Okay. Yeah,
I just remember the first time I got detention, or basically the only time I think I got detention in school was in second grade trying to get my friends to do slapstick and throw themselves into the wall, like just fake fall.
Nice.
And I was like, we're practicing for comedy. And we just got the tension. It was like, stop making your friends run into the wall.
Yeah.
And
but, yeah, but if you told them, today. If you told your friends to go off a cliff, would they have? You didn't make them.
That's right.
You were becoming a leader, and they were learning their role as followers.
I was the Charlie Manson in the
there. You always, especially in junior high, you want to be the Charlie Manson.
This was second grade.
Yeah. Oh, second grade.
Yeah,
it's true.
Oh,
I had my other Charlie Manson experience.
Do you know what I did? You know what I did in second grade? I there was this tree in our recess, like our big yard, where like I made it the Enterprise, and I was Captain Picard, and I had like 30 people in my class that I would send on away missions, and I would be like, go find this for me. Go find this for me. And I would just orchestrate recess for the entire class. And then because I only liked my teachers in the first half of the day, after that, it would be like, I'm sick. I'm going to the office. And I would go home. Half of my second grade class, I missed the second half of the year. Because I was like, I don't care about the second half of this day. I've already captained
the starship.
You're
like, my officers are already out doing their work. Yeah,
they were doing
I'm
going
to retire to captain's quarters.
That's exactly what I did. I was just like, all right, cool. They've done their job. It's time for me to take a break. And I don't care about these classes.
How did you get away with that going home every day, though?
Like halfway through the year, the nurse was like, I'm not calling your mom anymore. I don't think you're sick. So I'd just be like, oh, I'm sick. I'm going home. My mom would just be like, okay. And I'd just
go
to my room.
Come get you?
Yeah. Sure. And I'd just go home, take a nap. I was like a very like willful child where it's like, no, this is what's happening. Like,
Yeah.
My mom used to, we lived close to my elementary school, and my mom used to let me walk home on lunch.
Really?
And she would be watching her soap operas, and I was allowed to like eat a hot lunch in the kitchen, take a nap in my bed, and then go back to school occasionally. It was dope.
So no fruit leather on those days?
No fruit leather on those days.
I've told this story already, but it coincides so much with what we're talking about. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Because I lived close to my elementary school, and I was obsessed with Star Trek, and we got to do the fake Star Trek day at school where they sent us away to Star Trek camp, and I got so excited that I ran to school and fell on the way there and hurt myself, and I couldn't go to Star Trek
camp. Oh shit, that was the day it all began.
So I limped but I still limped into class instead of going home, and was like, I can't go to Star Trek.
Because you needed at least the attention.
I needed that attention.
Yes.
Did you ever go to...
And then my parents sent me on like a weekend where you stay there. You sleep there.
Good.
And then all the guys...
What is the Star Trek camp?
It was really cool. It wasn't a real... Yeah. But it basically was Star Trek camp. It was in Salt Lake. But it was like this... It was like a learning like science thing.
Yeah.
But it was basically Star Trek where you pretended you were on a bridge and you got assignments. It was fucking cool. And then... But I was the only girl who went to like the stay over weekend thing. Or I was one of only two girls.
Yeah.
And so we, instead of staying in like the quarters, you know, which are all the bunk beds, we had to sleep on the auditorium. Like,
are you serious?
Because it was in a school.
For real.
That's a bummer. Because that, like, that is very un Star Trek.
On Star Trek, yeah.
I know.
It's very un Star Trek. Because one of the things, I'm rewatching Battlestar Galactica right now.
I love it.
And, like, one of the things that I really love about, like, Star Trek, Battlestar, is that, like, there is no sexism in space. Because there is no oxygen outside of your ship, so you have to trust everybody on your ship, and there's no room for questioning somebody based on their gender. And it's just really refreshing to like watch it.
I was saw it for the first time a couple of years ago, and it felt like, because like I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it's wonderful. It's a little dated, but that doesn't mean it doesn't still hold up. But like BSG is sort of this perfect like... displaying what a sort of post-gender world, and there's still gender politics, there's still racial politics, but there's so much more diversity, and it just, it feels like one of the more feminist show than Buffy.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, like, women have a good time in it, but, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are still flawed, and there's still layers and everything, but it's just, like, it's more military versus civilian than it is, like, gender... Yeah,
I mean, I like that about the Harry Potter books too. Like in the world of Harry, I mean, J.K. Rowling is just such a fucking badass. But I just love how it's like not even mentioned.
Yeah,
just like girls and boys play Quidditch together, and men and women hold equal power. And
yeah,
Did you? You said you were going to start watching Star Trek.
I have not had a free hour since honestly 1999.
Honestly, I will eventually.
I know. I'm just curious.
No, I know. I want to. I do want to.
I honestly think that you. I was thinking about it since I'm starting with PSG. I think you should maybe watch Battlestar first.
I have watched some. I watched like the mini series and like the first half of Battlestar, and I liked it. It's the same thing. I just don't have time. I need to. I mean,
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, there's no time. The mini, but the actual show is better than the mini series.
Yeah, it just kind of sets it all.
That's been like it's like that. I need to finish. I 6 years ago. I finished season 3 of The Wire, and I loved that show. And it's like been driving me insane that I haven't watched seasons 4 and 5 of The Wire.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this is one really nice thing about being single is I can like binge watch the fuck out of some stuff because I don't have anybody I have to watch anything with. Yeah, there's no. I just am like, I get it done,
Barbara. Yeah. I hunger for those days. I hunger for them. Like some of the happiest times in my life were just sitting alone at 3 o'clock in the morning watching Toddlers and Tiara in bed. Like I love binge watching alone. Like when Sean leaves town, I'm just like, what the fuck am I gonna watch? I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, my boyfriend, he just got like a full-time job 9 to 6 and we both just graduated from college and I don't have a full-time job yet, so it's just like
time. So you're like, bye honey.
Bye.
And you're just like, all right, put on the rope.
All of Jane the Virgin. The CW shows are long.
I think it's more so than nice. Just like, because Sean and I have shows that we watch together and that impedes my progress too. Certainly. Stranger Things took us forever to get through, even, you know, that was great, but it's also like, you know, the shame thing.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing about like just eating like peanut butter straight from the jar. It's like, it's different watching like 12 episodes of something when there's no one who's going to know about it.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Do you ever cheat and watch one without him?
No, not really.
What about you guys?
Sometimes. What I will get is permission to be like, hey, I need to watch, like we just did it with BoJack Horseman, where we watched the first half of this new season together, and then like he just was really busy, and I was like, I'm sorry, I need to finish it
because it's too like, emotional.
Yeah, I was like, I need to know what happens because I get really invested in that show. I love it so much.
It's so
I was
good.
Like, you gotta just, I'm gonna finish it, and then I'll rewatch it with you, but I just need to know what's happening.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
There's some. I mean, I'm gonna be really honest with you guys. I wish that Sean would continue on with Homeland without me.
Yeah. Sean, if you're listening.
That show definitely jumped
it's
the shark
still on
a long
and
time
it
ago.
Jumped a few like a shark
it's
and a dinosaur
jumped,
and a few other things.
It's jumped many sharks at this point.
Yeah, I mean it was like so good in the beginning.
Yeah, the first three, I think I watched the first three and then I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I feel like with House of Cards, like I love the first season.
It's gotten
second season,
so
like,
ridiculous.
So
crazy
I'm still
I've
super
stopped
into
right
House of
now.
Cards.
It still doesn't get, because yeah, it was like the most recent season. I just was like, I don't. But I love Kevin Spacey. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it so much in the background.
Robin Wright. I love Robin Wright.
Oh, like, for whatever reason, House of Cards has, like, always held my interest. I think I like political shit. Like, I love stuff that takes place in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. I want them to be, like, there's two more seasons and we know what it's going to be. Like, that would make me really happy.
Yeah,
because
it does feel like they're just like, what's the biggest, weirdest thing we can have?
Yeah. Like, because it needs to start unraveling and I need to know that they have the plan. Because
it's unraveling.
So fast. It's like, now I'm president. Sorry, it's spoiler. No, it's not.
No, it's fine.
At this
ever
point,
since fucking Lost, I don't trust TV shows unless they have the entire thing
that
planned
is true.
Out.
You
what
can't
trust
happen there. They just didn't know what the fuck
I
they were
refused,
doing.
It was
I
like
refused.
How I Met Your Mother's ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they introduced time travel, I was like, fuck.
I quit Lost as well.
Yeah.
That was the first TV show I ever quit.
Yeah.
You watched the whole thing?
I did. I only started watching it too because that guy from fucking Lord of the Rings was on.
Oh, Dominic Monaghan. He's the shit. I love Dominic Monaghan.
Is that Hurley?
Great part of that. Oh, he's
no. He was the
he's the
rock
kid
star,
with the
heroine.
Oh,
I don't know. I think I liked him or something.
Oh, he's a cutie.
It was so long ago. I don't remember why. I was like, but he was the reason I like watched it.
He seems like the type of guy that has like a onyx shark tooth necklace.
That was just his character on the show.
Wear it. Like he can rock it.
I think he could pull it off.
Not in my house.
If you are saying somebody with a shark tooth necklace isn't good, you don't like that?
Not on him for some reason. And not if it mean, yeah.
What if they killed that doesn't shark themselves?
Then I really
they
don't
saved
like
someone.
It.
No, they saved some like a puppy from a shark.
Oh, well, she likes animals, so she's on the shark to die, right?
Yeah.
What if there's like a rare puppy?
What if it was like
a basic shark?
What if it was like a shark
with a puppy and a basic shark?
Yeah, super basic shark. And the shark is going, no sharks die, but the shark is going for the puppy.
Okay.
And then the shark has a sore tooth that comes loose as it grabs the puppy. No one dies, but then Dominic Monaghan's surfing nearby and he grabs.
I'd still rather fuck Matthew Fox.
Great Aesop fable that was.
It was great. I love the idea of a basic shark being like, it's my birthday week. It's shark week.
Shots, shots, shark, 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 shark.
No, I have,
No, you can say it.
I have the same bookkeeper as Sawyer. And I didn't watch the show at the time. And then I finally saw it a couple years ago. And I was like, oh, is there a way to sign our books together? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful.
Oh, wait. So you think Sawyer is hot, but you don't think Riggins is hot? They're the same.
That's a good point. That's very good point.
Riggins from Finite Lights.
Except Riggins is hotter.
I think they're so different. Wait, Riggins is the coach? You think
they're both bad?
Riggins is like
Riggins is the hotsy-totsy bad boy.
I don't like younger guys.
I like younger guys, and I definitely like that one.
Sawyer grew on me because of his survival on the island. I like.
Me too. I think first never I was grew like, on what?
No. Well,
what about when he saves Julie?
I don't know if I made it that far.
Yeah, she didn't. I don't think she made it through.
I made like. I did like.
He doesn't
episodes.
Make a. I get it. Why? Yeah, he wouldn't make a good impression at first.
Also, Matt Fox's character got annoying to me, and I'd need it. And like when that triangle
Wait, Sarah
happened.
Said? Which one?
Matt Fox, the doctor. Jack.
Oh, we're back on Lost.
Sorry, back on Lost. Yeah, when that when the love triangle happens.
Oh, God. The whole thing.
I know.
Everyone just needed to shut the fuck up. The acting was so bad. The writing was so bad. Like, I hated.
Yeah.
The polar bear. Just everything.
Oh, my God.
The polar bear's love story.
Yeah.
I feel especially wrong in my Lost.
The polar bear and the dog.
When polar bear won that football game in Texas, it was like, okay.
I feel especially wrong by Lost because I never watched it from the beginning, and then I was home over one Christmas, and it was right before season four started, and my family was marathoning all three seasons, and it was like
way too much.
And it was like all we fucking did for the whole week I was home, and I was like, I'll watch your fucking show, and then I got pulled into it as you do, and then season four started, and that's when the writer's strike was. So it was like a month of episodes. I was invested, and then it came back with fucking time travel, and I was like,
yeah, how
never
many shows
again?
took a real dive around?
So
then.
Mad,
a lot, huh?
So many good shows got canceled because of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Pushing Daisies, one of my favorite shows of all time.
R.I.P. That show was awesome.
That was so good.
Rains, the there was
My trippies were my trippies. They were extras on Rains.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that they were in a show with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I was so upset when that show got canceled. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
TV.
It's great, guys.
We love it.
It's what's for it's what's for dinner. All right, we'll be
our most TV talk we've had. Okay, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, we wanted to play a song. The titular song,
yeah,
from Lucia's album "Radio Silence." Do you want to say anything about it?
Oh yeah, thank you.
Here it is.
Radio. Yeah.
We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with the Lucia Fasano.
Lucia Fasano.
Lucia Fasano.
You gotta just throw your hands up when you say it. Throw your hands up.
But not like in desperate, like exasperation.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an like, Italian.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
adoration.
Yeah.
In exactly. adoration. Lucia, have you ever had a problem before?
So many. Oh. Well, my Kickstarter is going okay, so mo money.
Oh, yeah. Mo what's your grass. So where can people find info on your Kickstarter?
Well, if you search my name, LuciaFasano on Kickstarter, or sometimes it's on the main page because they chose it as a project they love.
Oh, nice.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
And what is it for?
It's for my first solo music album, which is called Radio Silence. Mm-hmm. And I recorded it with Larry Crane at Jackpot Recording in Portland. It's like... It's a just historic. He's like started his label with Elliot Smith, and they he's his archivist and played with him, and he's recorded like The Decemberists, She and Him, Slater Kinney, and
wow.
Yeah, I did a comedy show at the venue that he does with his wife Jenna Zine, and mm-hmm. I was looking at all the posters, and I was like, I need to put out my albums. I write a lot of songs. I've been playing for years. I used to play in a band, Shady Characters, in LA, mm-hmm. and with Kyle Clark's brother, Casey Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was like, I really want to put out my solo album. I'd gone through a lot that past year. And so I talked to Larry, and he's like, I'll produce it for you. So he's playing on it, too. And it's like me sort of sad folk songs and then more upbeat, folky, mm-hmm. indie rock songs. And
cool.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to it. Thanks. I love that sounds like exactly my jam.
Yeah. And we since I recorded the album, I've become really close with the Double Clicks, which is like a nerd folk band. My web series with Angela from there, and they've done a bunch of great Kickstarters, and she was like, I believe in your art and I would love to sort of, you know, start a label basically to release your stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So we've been working very closely together, and she directs my music videos. I just put out one called Nerd Boy, which she actually produced with Aubrey from the Double Clicks. And so we're going to add it to the album, even though it's different producers. And mm-hmm. So the first day we met, we had a small goal of 3,000 to put out all the albums and some mm-hmm. t-shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we met it in 12 hours.
Yeah.
I saw that. That's so cool. Yeah. That must have felt so great. So cool.
It felt so great. And you could really tell like, years of, cause like I started doing some stand-up when I was living in LA, but mostly in Portland, and doing music for years, and to have people tweet at me like, I'm donating because I just listened to you on the Gosh Darn Fiasco podcast, or I'm donating because that's you so handed cool. me a sticker on the street, or because I've always mm-hmm. loved your music. You know, it's like, okay, so I'm not shouting into the void.
Yeah, the years, those moments cool. where you see that, like, finally all those years you've put in, all those little things are coming together. It's like, mm-hmm. such a relief.
Yeah. Definitely. It's really hard to see it while you're in it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And even still, like, sometimes I forget that it's happening, or I don't mm-hmm. have enough perspective. And so it's been really cool to just see that all there. And so now we're, when recording this, we're at 4,500, which will get us, like, I can put a little lyric booklet in there. And I used to always, like, mention Alanis Morissette earlier, like, read the Jagged Little
those
Pill
are the best.
Lyrics.
Oh. Yeah. I miss those so much.
Yeah, lyric liners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like...
Is that what they were called? Lyric liners?
I think it's just liner notes.
Okay. Yeah.
Liner notes.
And just, yeah, lyric
sure.
liners.
Yeah,
those
sure.
were the days, you know.
You know, a lyric napkin. Yeah. Inserted.
A sanitary lyric napkin.
Yeah.
That was like one of my favorite things when I did my albums out on cassette. Oh, hey, listeners, my album's available on cassette. Go to brandy.com.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They're so cute.
But I did liner notes inside of it. And it was really cool to get to design all of those. Because I was like, I really want a thing because I want to be able to thank people.
Yeah.
It's nice important. To have a thing that brings you joy.
Mm-hmm. I know. I like things
that sparks joy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No bed bugs on that in that arena.
Yeah. Right. The day that you pick up your album and like, this gives me no more joy anymore.
When you put it away.
God, I don't know. I think I have a lot of work that I could probably go in my garage and pick up and be like, this doesn't give me joy anymore. I'm super critical of myself.
Oh, that's so hard.
That Home Improvement article brought joy
fucking
to a lot of people.
Nailed it. My best work. My best work.
Home Improvement article?
Yeah, just my clickbait.
The clickbait.
I like how I literally am like, I wrote one piece of clickbait and I'm like, do you guys remember?
Your legacy clickbait article.
That is what I will be remembered for.
Yep.
You and Tim Allen just remembered for Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's do Lady Problem. Yes.
Let's do it. What do we got?
Hit it. Wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah. Song oh, first. Yeah, the song.
Hit it, David.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Yes. If you want a lot of Tim Allen, go to our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, and listen to our Christmas album.
Also, I just love that
track is amazing.
The mere sound of Tim Allen induced in all of us like a yes, queen.
Yes. One of the 10 most iconic sounds of the 90s, I think, is that right there.
And then also kind of another, it's funny, this must have been a 90s thing, but then the Arsenio Hall...
Yeah. You're not doing it right.
Yeah, it was not what it was.
You said woof woof.
Isn't it woof woof?
It's woo woo.
Oh,
I think you were mixing it with Tim Allen.
This is woofing. I've been woofing my whole life.
Oh no,
I've been woofing my whole life.
Oh, Tess. David just took off his headphones and walked away.
It's not woof. It's woof.
Oh no.
Oh, no. Can I please redo first grade?
Oh, that is so fucking funny.
The difference that would make.
That you got the ultimate lyric liner notes incorrect on that.
There were no liner notes for the Arsenio Hall show.
It's so funny because I saw him do stand up recently and people were still in the audience doing the woo woo. Yeah, the like the arm thing. Woo, woo,
woo. Why was that? It was just fun to do.
It's like especially when you have a show, I think, because what's his fucking name? Jerry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A chant is always...
People like chanting.
Yeah. I liked on Larry Wilmore on the Nightly Show. They're like, Larry.
Oh, yeah. They do Larry.
And I'm like, who's going to go Larry?
Maybe whoever replaces
him. Yeah.
I have a stand-up joke about this, but mine was like, I'm sorry, I'm doing a joke on here. Deal with it.
No, so, do it. No one was upset.
Literally, we didn't say anything.
But Arsenio Hall's thing is like, woo, woo. And I think mine is constantly pulling up my pants and being like, come.
Oh, yes.
That's mine.
If people can just start chanting that.
If you guys
want to
come to my shows, please don't do that. Come. You have to do it as goblin-y as possible.
Yeah. It's really hard to chant goblin-y.
No, it's not. It just sounds like you're saying
the best word for
it. Let's try to do it in unison.
Okay.
Come. It's tough.
I feel like that's how Newt Gingrich sounds.
Sounds about right.
Someone named Newt.
Yeah. A Newt. Newt. Well, it got better. Newt. Sorry, I'm quoting Monty Python on the show.
Oh, God.
I'm going to read
this
lady
problem.
Tess
was really cool. She insists. Woof, woof.
I know. When we flash back to the reality, I've just been alone this whole time.
Tess is just binge watching Monty Python in her bed alone. All right,
here we go. I'm going into my final year of high school, and now I must decide what I want
to
do.
This is a lady problem. Brandy's not just saying this.
Yes. I've been a Benjamin Button this entire time. All right. I'm going into my final year of high school, and now must decide what to do with my life. I want to become a teacher. So what is my problem? I live in a small city in southern Ontario. You probably don't know this, but in Ontario, there's a large number of unemployed teachers already. So many young teachers graduate and cannot find jobs. I love tutoring and think that teaching will be a great career for me, but I don't want to leave Ontario, where I love the school system and my parents live decently close. I also don't want to go into a job that I won't love. Do I risk not being able to find a job in something I know I will love, or do I study for a degree that I can more than likely find a job but may regret doing in the long run?
Well, I think you know what we're going to say. I hope.
Yeah.
Take the risk.
Do the thing that you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really important. Also,
No, you know what? This one time I'm going to say, fuck it. Be sad.
I mean, I don't know if... No job is guaranteed out of college.
Yeah. Oh, and the thing that you love will make you sad.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No. Very important to remember.
Just gives you a job other than a teaching degree. Like, there, you might be an unemployed teacher for a bit, but you have the certifications. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
They need it somewhere. Like, I know a lot of people that they, like, go teach in South Korea and... you know, for a summer, and they come back and they have all this teaching experience. They can get a job. Like,
yeah.
So just wait it out and do something different so you don't get burnt out.
Well, and I think what you need to remember is that these other unemployed teachers are not you. I mean, you're you. There's only one you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be an amazing teacher because you're so passionate about it, mm-hmm. and you're so young and you already know what you want to do. And there's a reason you're drawn to this profession. It's obviously what you're meant to do. And if you're passionate about what you want to do and you follow it and you really listen to yourself, you're going to be a person that people need to hire.
Yeah. To be a go-getter enough to even like, you're listening to lady and writing in. Like, yeah,
exactly.
That's pretty cool and special instead of.
Yeah. You can put us on your resume. Totally.
Oh my God. Yes. I used to substitute teach at Beverly Hills High. I'm happy to write you a recommendation. I have sullied my name there after I wrote a tell-all on Vice detailing that I was a raging alcoholic while doing it. But happy to write you a letter.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it is true. It's rare to know what you want to do.
Exactly.
I think, and if you know, then you have to go for it because, you know, I think we're lucky to know, and some people are still exploring or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. but if you already know, then definitely go for it. And you know what? Maybe that will change someday. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. You're very young and life changes in a lot of unexpected ways. You might end up wanting to leave at some point, leave the mm-hmm. area and try teaching somewhere else, you know. But yeah, like I said, you're you, and if you know you want to do, that's rare, and you should embrace it.
By the time you're out of college, like, so it's like you're going to college and you're doing the certification, or you're working with, like, it doesn't matter if there aren't jobs, because like you can do internships, you can do after school mm-hmm. and like work with kids of all ages, see what you want. You can volunteer at organizations where you like teach girls how to be in a rock band or teach kids how to. You know, there's so many different types of teaching that, like, it's really nice. You might think that you want to just teach history, but you might be like, I like to teach art, or I like to teach math, or, you know.
Yeah, it's a broader skill set than I think you realize at this point. You know, being able to, like, communicate with people of all different ages, of all different backgrounds is
abilities.
Yeah, a huge ability. It's, you know, it's public speaking. You know, it's HR experience. I mean, also just having a degree, period, will open any door for you. Just in general, in a lot of ways. You know?
Yeah, and I think Lucia is really spot on with like expanding your mind maybe beyond like whatever your specific mm-hmm. area is. And also that way, if you do volunteer here or there, you're gonna have so many more opportunities when those jobs come along, which I think we've realized, like we're saying, like
definitely
these years and years of putting in all this time, it's like then you look at the network of people you know and you kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember when I was like her age, I used to get so annoyed because sometimes I knew what I wanted to do when mm-hmm. I was my whole life. Really,
you're annoyed
you know?
It's not there yet.
Well, yeah, I was annoyed it was not there. But yeah, but also I there was no question in my mind that's what I was going to do. And people would try to talk me out of it. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's a really difficult field. Are you sure you don't want to go to law school or something like that? And I'm like,
no,
law isn't a difficult field.
Yeah.
People say even they're like, what if you instead of building up a fan base and putting out music or comedy on your own, what if you try and be like a commercial songwriter or whatever, which like, sure, I would love to do that too. Yeah. But it's like, it's just as hard to try
exactly.
and go the commercial route than
everything's hard. You need your passion to be able to back it up.
That's right.
Yes.
You know? Anything worth doing is challenging.
Yes.
So do the challenging thing that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's really
I mean yeah that's mostly it
I thought you said I am HR like I am human resource
yeah did I say that
no you said I am HO and I but
oh
I
am HR yeah I am HR of my self-employment business it's not going well there's a lot of sexual harassment
yeah you should contact HR
oh I do a lot
I will also say that like when you doing the thing that you love, doing anything, life is like a series of running into compromises at a certain point. And if you aren't being forced into one, don't, you know,
yeah, seriously.
Follow the things that you love. And it's not going to be
easy. Yeah. Don't second guess yourself before you've had a chance to even do it.
Exactly. And like life is hard. It's going to be a series, you know, there's a series of hardships that you should go after the things that you love. As much as possible.
You know what I think people do to people this age mm-hmm. is people who didn't do that project their regret onto young people.
At any age.
And try to tell them why it's so hard and why they're not going to be able to accomplish their dreams.
Fuck that shit so much.
You know what I mean?
At any age. Literally, there's a guy that just moved into my trailer park that is like a 55-year-old he's one third Native American, one third Korean, one third Hispanic, he told me. And he's like, yeah, I wrote all of Tommy Chong's jokes. It could have been me, but I decided not to. Because he asked me what I did. I said it was a comic. People like to like tell you what they know about what you do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then make it about how they didn't do what you did. And it's like, okay, well, that's you. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care. I don't care about what you have going on. Yeah. Like, everybody's different.
And there's literally no idea of how things are working. And it's the same with you talk to people that watch TV and then they think they know how different stand-up scenes work. And it's like, you get it with people. I had a teacher, so my teacher was always unemployed, or my teacher was hated her students and got bored of it really early on. It's like, that doesn't mean you know shit about this person's experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, teaching is a calling, and I really think that like important teachers, like teachers with passion are so important. Like, not every teacher is great, but the handful of teachers that you have in your life that are good teachers are the game changers in everybody's life. And if you are driven to be that person, I don't give a fuck if you're employed for 5 years after you get out. Like, it's important that you help people down the line. Like, those teachers are people that I will think about forever.
You know what I would do too? I did this when I've done this twice. I haven't opened the one that I have right now, but I would write a letter to yourself right now, reminding yourself of why you want to do this and leave it closed. And then after you graduate, when you're like having a really hard time finding a job, or you're like sober, or like you feel really frustrated, open it so that you have this like letter from your younger self that like reminds you of like why you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. And you did that? You haven't opened it?
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Man, I wrote one of those in eighth grade, and our teacher was supposed to like find them and send them to us at some point later in life. And I don't think she ever did, or I haven't gotten it.
I think that's happened all. Don't be that teacher. Don't just like burn them.
Well,
I mean, be a realistic teacher. Because are you seriously going to do like you're? I mean, my mom's a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, come June, see you and want to be a. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And I just really want to like. There's no jobs for anybody right now.
Yeah, that's like, the thing is when people do say like go to law school, it's like what? Then be more in student debt and not, not be guaranteed.
I know
anything?
Unemployed
idiotic.
Lawyers. I know unemployed bankers. Right. I know unemployed engineers.
So do the thing you love.
Like do the thing you love.
Yeah, if you have the passion and if you do build up experience through volunteering or just you know if you have a friend who's a teacher, be like I will help out and not be a creep and like I had like a lecture in my comic book class because I go to school to play and the lecturer was basically saying like you get your jobs when other people drop the ball, so it's like there are plenty of people that have teaching jobs that don't really care about teaching or they whatever. It's like if you are there and ready and experienced, you can get that job when those people get sick of it or move on. Like,
and also I will say, even if you don't have that job right out of college, like don't worry about it. Like, we've all had like little weird jobs filling in the gaps between us getting to do what we want. And honestly, I know that I'm happier than most of my friends that compromised what they wanted to do out of the gate. Like, because they tell me all the time, they're like, you seem so happy. I talked to my dad's business partner the last time I was home, and he was like, you know, you're the only person your age that I know that's happy.
Oh my God.
Because everybody else that he knows at home that, you know, are friends with his daughter are just like, half of them are divorced. They are all working in like office jobs they hate that they never wanted to do, but they just did what they were told to do. So if you have a passion, follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm even pro, like, you know, I'm definitely pro challenging yourself, especially academically, intellectually. That's so important, whether you do that through school or on your own with a book. But like, you know, I got my degree in liberal studies, which meant that I could take English and psych and poli sci, but I could also take improv and comic books and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I know a lot of other people my age that have felt so pressured to get, BSs or, you know, more scientific degrees because it's their passion. That's great. But like, I often would feel like, oh, is my degree bullshit? Like, should I, you know, challenge myself? And it's like, if I challenged myself, and I did challenge myself in school, it was hard. But if like I was having a degree that I was struggling with, like a really, you know, mathematic one or something, then I would not have been doing comedy every week that I was in college. I would not, because I would have been, so I was still challenging myself outside of school and as a person. Mm-hmm. I just was able to actually turn in my work and not want to die, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's really important, I think, to just leave time for the shit that you love and keep educating yourself,
And you know what? I think what would be really cool for you when you graduate,
go say thank you to all of the teachers that have inspired you to want to be a teacher. I think that would like be a really great thing to get to do to like before you go off into the next phase, just to be like, hey, these are the people that I want to be like when I do these next 4 years of work.
Yeah, I've tried to. I've had the opportunity to thank two of my teachers, like as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because they like
it's the best.
Yeah.
I emailed one recently. I was just like, I don't know why, like looking at my high school, you know, website, and I saw one of their emails and I was just like, I'm going to email him, Carter. He was the art teacher. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I remember you. Thank you so much for emailing, you know.
Oh, yeah. See, they like that.
They love it.
Of course.
It
I mean, why everything. Else are they doing it? That's why it's they're like doing... they want to reach people. They yeah. want to, you know, mm-hmm. connect with somebody.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well,
we're excited to see where you end up. Congratulations on knowing what you want to do in this world. That in itself is a great
shout out to teachers.
If I maybe have a child, I'll send them your way or something.
Definitely. Oh, to Canada. That would be good for you to send your child to Canada. Yeah. And then we can just go visit it.
Yeah. We should just be sending all of our kids to Canada.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Lucia, where can people find you online?
You can find me at luciafasano.com or Lucia_Fasano on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
And find her on Kickstarter.
Yeah, find me on Kickstarter and it all links to there. So thank you.
Get her album.
Mm-hmm. Please get it, girl.
Yes.
And voice.
And that's it. That's our show.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.